Every year around this time, universities all around the globe have commencement ceremonies. Some of the pride of universities is to invite either esteemed alumni or to confer honorary titles or degrees to those who the students elect to come speak to them. When I graduated years ago from the University of Wisconsin, our class got to hear Bradley Whitford of West Wing fame. He had a wonderful commencement speech where he put together the parallels between acting and what life would throw at you. It was a pretty memorable commencement speech. I stumbled upon another pretty memorable commencement speech that occurred just last weekend. No, it was not here in our hallowed halls, but out west at the University of Southern California, where the SNL great and actor Will Ferrell took the stand to speak to the class of 2017. And being Will Ferrell, it was humorous, touching, and a little weird. But it was the way that he ended this commencement speech that really grabbed me. And so his words for you this morning, even though first directed at the students of USC, class of 2017, I just want you to know you will never be alone on whatever path you may choose. If you do have a moment where you feel a little down, just think of the support that you have from this great family. And imagine me, literally picture my face, singing this song gently into your ear. And that's when he proceeded to sing Whitney Houston's "I Will Always Love You." Commencement speeches and the farewell discourse of the Gospel of John share a lot in common. Jesus is trying to prepare his disciples for his upcoming departure. He wants to address their fears and their needs as he will soon take leave of them. He wants them to be equipped with the instructions for the life they will lead after he is gone. Familiar to a commencement speech as well. Because Jesus knows, just like those students at that graduation or graduations all over, that even though there is an air of excitement, there's also a great bit of anxiety. And that anxiety is not just left for students. You and I experience this as well from time to time. That mixed feeling, that anxiousness of the unknown. And here Jesus has made it clear to his disciples that his days are numbered, that his time for departure is at hand. And so he makes every effort to prepare them and to affirm them so that they are ready. But of course, who could ever be fully prepared for such a moment? And this is absolutely true of the disciples as well. Despite their unease, Jesus wants them to understand that he's not abandoning them. They will not be orphaned. Thus, there is the promise of the gift of the Holy Spirit, which in John's Gospel is known as the Advocate or Comforter, the Paraclete. But is this arrangement of the Holy Spirit a conditional one? Are there strings attached to this deal? We hear in the gospel reading, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. What commandments is Jesus referring to? Is he pointing to the Ten Commandments? Or perhaps his response that he gave back in Matthew 22 when he was asked by a lawyer, teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and prophets. Or maybe they're the commands that he gave just prior to our reading for today. The commandment about, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. It appears to me that Jesus is speaking of all three. Back in Matthew 22, Jesus condenses the 10 down to 2. But he doesn't make them any easier to fulfill, and he doesn't cast any of them out. And in that previous chapter in the Gospel of John, Jesus is simply setting the stage for a powerful theological statement that by loving others, we are in fact loving both he and the Father. This is an idea that is fleshed out extremely well by the theologian and pastor Dietrich Bonhoeffer about how we encounter Christ in our neighbor. And when we serve our neighbor in acts of love, it is truly God whom we encounter. And it is God whom we show our love to. So it is here that Jesus is talking about how when we love him, we love the Father. And those who love Jesus are in turn loved by the Father. The Gospel of John takes this sort of I am the walrus turn. It translates into this mess of I am he, as you are me, and we are all together. But even in these complex sentences of John, we must remember what a crucial stress or a point of emphasis that the author of the Gospel of John has in that of abiding. See, Jesus abides in the Father, and the Father in Jesus. And Jesus abides in his followers, and his followers in him, and the Spirit in them, and so on and so forth. So, for example, if Jesus is abiding in you, and I love you as Jesus loves me, then I am loving Jesus, for he abides in you. This is how we go about the commandments of Jesus. When we love our neighbor, we love Jesus. When we love Jesus, we love God the Father. And all of this is not predicated on our efforts at all, but solely on the efforts of Christ. Well, how do we know then if this is not some if-then clause? If you take a look at the 15th verse, it seems to have a heavy undertone, kind of this wagging, judgmental finger. To answer this, we must look at where Jesus is coming from. We must re-examine where all of this is taking place in Scripture. This is the Easter season, but we have rolled back, for all of this transpires at the Last Supper. This whole conversation comes after he has washed their feet. This is after he has instituted the Eucharist, but it is before he goes to the cross. Jesus is doing all of this proleptically. There is no, if you love me, then. There is no if-then clause. The reality is that we are able to love because God shows us love first. Jesus has already laid the stage for how it is we are to hear this message of love. Whenever you hear commandments in John, it is rather simple, that you should love one another as I have loved you. It is neither rule nor rubric. Jesus here is simply doing nothing else than trying for us to re-image our entire worldview so that it revolves around and is defined by this concept of love. When you take all that Jesus has said and hold it up against the washing of the feet, against the giving of his body and his blood in the Eucharist, against his giving of his very life on the cross and his emergence from the empty tomb, there is only one inescapable conclusion. The only thing in the entire creation that matters is the love of God. And everything depends upon it. And this should be enough for us. But it isn't. We find ourselves falling back time and time again. We forget God's promises. And we fall back into our old routines. It's like we don't fully trust the freedom that we have gained in Christ. So we've been given this second advocate, this wily Holy Spirit who slaps us upside the head from time to time to remind us of what God has promised and how we are to live our lives in this new reality of freedom. We dwell here in the Easter season. We have great excitement about the risen Christ. We sing hymns fully. But we get a bit apprehensive. We know that this season is not long. This is why we double back to Maundy Thursday. So when we say, now what? We hear the promise that we will not be orphaned, and we are reminded that when we have the love of Jesus, we have Him. When we have His love, we have each other. When we have His love, we find Him in community. It is as instead of Will Ferrell whispering and singing in our ears, the Holy Spirit whispers, I will always love you. You will always know where to find me. And God continue to love us in all of our shortcomings and all of our successes. And we will find the love of God in our love of one another as it was first gifted to us in the love of Christ. Amen.